This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Thursday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Mary Kitzmiller from Kemp, Texas, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 13th, episode 1542. Today's show is brought to you by Horsewear. Good morning, Horse World.
What is your favorite day of the week?
You never stop learning. You never stop understanding. It's more in depth than just riding a horse. Exciting, knowing that for the rest of my life, I could work on this and I'll never stop learning.
That's right. It is time for Mary Catherine Kitzmiller to join us. She stops by once a month, answers listener questions, brings on cool guests, and tells us all about her wacky adventures. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Sounds like you're on the phone.
Yes. So I got home for about 2 seconds from Washington from a 3-week trip up there. And now I'm going back to the airport and I'm flying into Washington, I guess, D.C. So I'm going to Virginia this weekend for a clinic.
Oh, wow. So where in Virginia? Do you know?
No.
That's why I asked, because she never knows where she's going.
Yeah, Virginia. That should be good enough.
It's a big state. It really is a big state. That's funny. Well, you looked like you had quite the adventure on your last trip, and we're going to hear about that. Plus, we did get a whole bunch of questions from listeners that you're going to tackle training tips. We have a guest coming up. Jennifer's going to tell us about that.
Coming up on today's Q&A with Kitzmiller, brought to you by Horsewear, we're going to start out with a little training tip from Mary herself and the difference between high-value and low-value rewards. Is it going to be a diamond ring or a car? Oh, not that. And then in the middle of the show, we're going to go on vacation with Justin Dunn and find out about how you can learn about horse training and vacation at the same time. And then wrapping things up, we're going to take clever questions from our listeners. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. So, Mary, you went up to Washington State. Tell everybody about what you were doing up there.
This is kind of a really cool and unique job that I started. I went last year for the first time. It's Central Washington State Fair in Yakima. And I got called to, you know, they asked if I wanted to come do 10 days of demos with horses. And I said, sure, why not? And so I definitely got there last year. This year I went and I brought two of my Mustangs that are sort of up and coming, that are learning liberty and stuff like that. And it's a really cool event because it's not like a horse expo where you're in a round pen in a quiet setting talking to other horse people. It's in the middle of a state fair. So my round pen is in the middle of the midway. I'm surrounded by Ferris wheels and deep fried Twinkies. And I started 2 colts while I was up there, and these colts are ranch raised. They were halter broke, like, as weanlings, and then their first trip to town is walking through the midway of a state fair with, you know, kids running after them and screaming and stuff. So it was really fun. I enjoyed it.
Well, we desensitized them immediately in 2 minutes. Sorry.
You know, the cool thing about that setting, you know, and settings like Road to the Horse and the horse starting competitions is, you know, I know that there's some people who see that and they go, oh my God, how dare you do that to a horse? I've never really had a horse in a situation like that get overwhelmed by their surroundings. They really get laser focused. They look at you and they kind of say to you, okay, you're the only one who's going to get me out of this. We're in this together. And it's a really cool atmosphere that you can't recreate any other way. You really form a team, and the horse really is just so thoroughly prepared for a lot of things after that experience. It's sort of like putting a month of training on in 2 days without actually having to do the training yourself. The atmosphere just trains it.
You know, it's interesting because David Saunders, who's the host once a month over on The Driving Show and was coachman to the Queen, has done many. Well, he did Diana's wedding parade, and he was driving the carriage with Prince Philip in it during that, with a million people lining with waving flags and the whole thing. He said, you know, and his theory is he's only ever had horses spook that were out by themselves when one little thing happens, a deer runs across, or there's a squirrel that jumps off the thing or whatever. You know, that kind of thing will spook a horse more than being in a situation where there's so much coming at them that they can't focus on anything. So nothing's really spooking them because they got so much, there's so much coming at them, there's so much intake that they're not focusing on any one thing. He said it's almost an easier situation than when that weird thing happens when you're out by yourself.
It really is, you know, it's really kind of incredible. And that's why, you know, hauling, when I do these Mustang makeovers, it's really important that you haul them to town to a show. And just, you don't even have to show them. You don't have to do a lot of training on them. In fact, I don't want to make the training really intense because I want them to almost have a break training when they're at that environment. But just camp out on them and just let the environment do the work for you. And I've heard more stories with these Mustangs for the makeovers where someone will say, oh my gosh, I just can't get together with this horse. I don't know if he's even going to go in the arena. He's so really fearful. And that horse goes to the makeover and they rock it. And I think there's so much to focus on that they just don't focus on any one thing. And they look around and they see the only person they know, which is you, and they say, okay, we might not have gotten along before, but we're in the same boat now, and they just kind of get in line and do great.
I've had dates like that. So, Mary, you have a couple of, speaking of makeovers, you have one, aren't you going this month to the OTTB one?
No, I had to scratch.
Well,
Moonshine's doing okay. A couple of reasons, but the main one is he had a little bit of white line disease several months ago.
Yeah.
And my farrier, it wasn't anything super serious, but my farrier just did resection a little chunk out of the hoof wall. And I've had that done before, and it normally doesn't really affect soundness. And he went lame after that, and it's just been sort of intermittent. And the hoof wall was taken away so much so that it's going to take 6 months to grow out. And between that and travel, I just decided, you know, I'm going to continue his training. And he's actually going to join my, because I've kind of sort of accidentally developed a Liberty team of all bay horses. So he's going to hop in with those guys. And you know, we'll go from there. But yeah, I'm bummed out. I'd like to try it again next year if I can.
You know, I just saw the press release. You're not the only one, actually. They had started out with 525 people that applied, and they're down to 300 horses that are actually confirmed that are going to be attending. And, you know, we all know horses. Crap happens, right? So you're going to count on a certain amount of attrition during that period of time. I'm sorry to hear that. You know, Scooter's also had been dealing with white line, and so I know exactly what you're going through. And he's fortunately never come up lame, but it's been something that Jennifer's been working on treating for the last, what, year and a half, 2 years, Jennifer? It's just, that's a tough one.
Bit of a battle.
Yeah. It's a tough one to deal with.
It is. And luckily, it's not serious. It's just kind of one of those, okay, let's let that foot grow back out and go from there. And luckily, we've killed the, you know, it looks like we've killed the white line. I haven't seen any signs of it in several trimmings.
But those darn feet take forever to grow. It's just like when you want them to grow fast, they don't. And all the other times, it's like, man, I need to get his feet trimmed again. His feet are growing so fast.
And I take for granted, I'm so used to Guthrie. You know, Guthrie, with all his foot problems, grows foot like a maniac. Like, if we had taken the same section out of Guthrie's foot, 2 weeks later, you wouldn't have seen it anymore. And Moonshine still has a big old triangle. Other than that, his feet are good. And you know, he doesn't really have any other shoe foot problems. He holds the shoe pretty well when he doesn't step on them. So I was really surprised. I don't know if he stepped on a rock and it did some bruising. I'm not sure. But it's just been intermittent to the point of, okay, well, we can't really do any intense training, and I don't want to take him if he's not going to be, he's not going to be his very best.
Well, yeah. And if he limps once, they're going to boot him anyway. So, there's no point in doing it. Now you have another one, a Mustang. You're doing another, what's it? I forget what this one's called. You're going to do a Mustang and another makeover. Tell us about that.
This is, and this is the same Extreme Mustang makeover that gets put on by Mustang Heritage Foundation. And the difference with this one's also in Fort Worth. It takes place during the Fort Worth Stock Show, so it's probably one of the most popular events they do. And it's invite only. So they invite trainers who are, as they invite accomplished trainers who've made finals or won past events. And so they've got, and the list this year is extremely competitive. It's going to be a good group. And then they usually, because this is in conjunction with the stock show, the finals are just packed. Like, they've had to have the fire marshal come in and clear people out. And so the finals is well attended, and the auction prices on the horses afterwards are usually really good. So they always pick, they've been picking the past couple of years mares that have really cool color to them. So they're really, really nice horses. And this year, all the horses are sale authority horses, which means most of the time that means that the horse has been passed up for adoption 3 times. Doesn't mean they've been adopted. It means they've been at an adoption and have not been adopted. And that's gone on 3 times. When that happens, they get another brand, and these are horses you can buy outright. So at the auction, people buy these horses. They don't go through any waiting period. They get the title right away, and that Mustang is pretty much like any other horse.
It doesn't have the restrictions that the other Mustangs have. And by the way, this is a very pretty gray, dappled Mustang.
Oh, she is gorgeous. Unfortunately, because I was in Washington, I'm 20 days behind, so that's going to be fun. But I've just started working with her, and she's really good. I really like her so far.
Now, and this one, how many days do you get on this one?
The competition is the third week in January, so like four and a half months, something like that. 4 months.
Piece of cake. Road to the horse, you only get 3 days.
Oh, yes.
You'll be fine.
Exactly.
And she is cute. Cute as a Dickens, and not overweight. I mean, just cute as a Dickens. I don't know what else to say. Now, you were trying to name her, and I noticed you put on the auditor page looking for names, and boy, the auditors like naming things, don't they? There were a ton of comments on here.
Oh, there were some good names. I picked a name, but my mom didn't like it, so I had to go find a new name, and they've come up with some really good stuff. And then we were talking, and we kind of thought, because she's gray, kind of almost, she'll be white at one point in her life, I'm sure. We thought about naming her Winter, and that way I could say Winter is coming, because I'm a nerd.
That's good. I like that.
Well, and for added subtlety, it also has the word win in it.
Ah, true. You're right. I'm looking at some of these other names that they came up with. Some of them are bizarre. Stephanie, Blood and Fire. Who wants to name their horse Blood and Fire, Stephanie?
Ooh, no. I'm not going to put blood in.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Or fire. that's what I'm thinking. Stephanie,
no.
I'm not buying that one. There was a lot of other ones that were all around the gray color, of course.
They had some good ones. And
the Mists and, of Avalon as the show name, the Mists of Avalon. I like that.
Ooh,
barn name, yeah. Ava.
I got to give props to our auditors, because there's some really awesome literary allusions, and they're very high high end name.
I got to tell you something about our auditors. They're all much smarter than we are. So
Better than other people.
We've been interviewing them all year on Stable Scoop, and this week, I wasn't there, but Jennifer sat in for me. You had one of our auditors is an equine surgeon. Yeah, it's just like we have doctors, equine surgeons, accountants, lawyers, and they listen to us, just a couple of schmucks on the radio. You know, I don't know, Mary, I don't get it either, but.
What are they thinking?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, you also got, we're going to spend all this half hour talking about your new animals. You got another new animal. You're not keeping this one, though. It's in for training, but it's kind of unique. Tell us about the pony zebra thing.
Yes. So he's a training project that will be with me for a while. I didn't buy him. Named him Pendleton, and he is a pony zebra cross. We don't know what kind of pony. We don't really know much about his origin.
Does it matter?
Not really. He's really pretty cool guy. I've started clicker training him. I'm going to teach him some tricks and things like that. And he's been really cool to work with. I thought about taking him to Washington for the demo, but the thing about things with stripes is if they walk out of town, they're going to go out of town, and they're very good at, kind of pulling on the leash rope. And I thought, you know, I don't know this guy very well yet. I don't want to lead him through the midway of a state fair just yet.
And then every kid wants to pent the thing with stripes, and that's not always a good idea. So,
Yeah.
I can see that. Now, so if it's a zebra pony, what do they call it?
Well, he's probably called a zony.
A zony?
As a joke, I started calling him a pebra, and it's sort of thick.
Pebra. I like pebra. That's kind of cool. I like that. And what's his name?
Pendleton.
Pendleton. Okay. So we'll follow Pendleton's progress as well. And then, you know, well, we have to talk about this because let me just explain for new listeners. Mary is not married, but I think she has a new love of her life. And it's not a horse. It's not a cow. It's a goat. I have seen so many goat pictures. You are obsessed with this goat.
And, you know, I don't understand it. And the world is becoming obsessed with this goat. Like, people are actually like, when is the calendar coming out? And why doesn't he have his own Facebook page? I post a picture of an animal that is a hybrid between a pony and a zebra. You don't see these. And I get like, you know, 30 likes. Oh, yeah, he's really cool. I post a goat photo and the world goes mad. Or I don't post a goat photo in 3 days and people start posting on my wall, where's the goat? I need my goat fixed.
He needs his own Facebook page, the goat.
He needs his own TV show.
Your whole life could be a TV show. Your whole life could be a reality show. That is for certain.
You know, well,
it could.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
All that you would need is a couple guy boyfriends in there to mix it up and add the drama, and then you have a reality show. You'd be the next Kim Kardashian.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Let's do a training tip. You wanted to talk about training with treats, and tell us a little about that. We have about 5 minutes, so we'll have to make this one quick.
I will condense. Okay. So I'll stick with the two of the biggest questions I get for treat training is what kind of treats do you use? And I didn't realize how people really want to know what kind of treats I'm using and how much that I'm giving each session. So when you clicker train like I do, and so I'm feeding a lot in a session, you don't want to do too many of those high-dollar Tractor Supply horse cookies that have all the sweet seed and the peppermints and all the, you know, bells and whistles. Because, A, you don't want to founder your horse, and B, believe it or not, horses get sick of those. And I found this out because I tried to feed several in succession, and my horse finally said, okay, stop, enough, I can't do it anymore, which surprised me. You know, it's kind of like if I ate several pieces of cake, which I can totally do, but if I ate enough of them, I'm going to get yucked out. So you don't want to do too many of those. So what I tend to do when I do the clicker training is I just take a little ration of my horse's daily grain. And I usually feed low starch feeds like Safe Choice or Total Equine, something of that sort. And that's what I use in my training because it's, I know the horse likes it. And it's something that, yeah, they're really excited about, but they're not going to lose their mind over in most cases. And I just dole those out a few little bitty pellets at a time. If they do something amazing, like the first time I get one to lay down, I'll give them a big handful. And then I will throw in a few of the expensive treats, you know, something that my horses just go nuts over. And I like to throw a few of those around randomly because if they're just kind of getting the same thing over and over, and then all of a sudden they get something that they really love, now they're really going to try harder to earn that treat again. And I give it at random times. So they never know when that treat's going to come. So it actually makes them try really hard. So those are the kinds of treats that I use. And then there's high-value treats and low-value treats. And it's important to do a little testing and see what treats your horse will eat that he really loves and will work really hard for. And then what treats that he will still enjoy, but it's not going to make him get overwhelmed and overexcited. Some horses are really, really excited when you start treat training, and they just get so obsessed with the cookies that they can't think, and it's hard to get them on task. So with those horses, I do want to go with something really low value, and you know, like maybe even a grass pellet, where okay, yeah, this is good, but I'm not going to lose my mind over it.
All right, very good. That's cool. Well, let's do this. You did that in 2 minutes, by the way, Mary.
Okay. I was going to take a breather and check in with the time because I can keep going.
Well, let's let's do this. Let's take a break for our sponsor. We have the Horsewear Winter Grooming Tip. This is the second week of an 8-week series we're doing with them. And then we'll come back, we'll do your guest, and then we'll handle some listener questions. Because if we don't get to the listener questions, we're going to be in trouble. So let's do it that way. Jennifer will get our guest on the line, and we'll be back. We have Justin Dunn coming on today, who I don't know that we've ever talked to, so I'm excited to hear from him. We'll be right back. This winter grooming tip is brought to you by Horsewear Blankets. Joining us are two of the top grooms in the country of Enter Philip Dutton's groom, Emma Ford, and Kat Hill from World Class Grooming. Well, this week's Horsewear Winter Grooming Tip of the Week is brought to you by Kat. Kat, we're talking about blanketing for the busy workday. You start off in the morning, you make sure the horses have their blankets on, and then you go to work for 8 hours, and then it warms up. What do you do?
The key to keeping your horse comfortable all day is it's pretty simple. It's the same thing that you use, and that's layering. One heavyweight blanket that they wear all night and during the day can oftentimes get too hot during the middle of the day. And then especially if you're not coming back again until after dark, then they get chilled because they've gotten too hot in the middle of the day. Rambo has two amazing options for this. The first is their layering option where they have a liner that clips to a top layer. And the liner helps to regulate their body temperature more similarly to how their own coat works because you've got the two layers that breathe a little bit better than just one big heavy layer. And it also helps prevent the chill from taking hold if they've got warm all the day and then cooling down the evening. The other one is Rambo has a product which is their Vera layer, which is one rug. It's super easy to use. You know, you just put on whatever weight they're going to wear all day, you put on in the morning. And right now, about 40 degrees in the morning, and it's getting up to 60 degrees where we are during the day. And so my horse is wearing the midweight, Vera layer. And what that does is it actually is designed to act more like their own coat. So similar to how performance fleece works for people, it doesn't get too hot, but it also doesn't get it also keeps them really nice and toasty. And that Varilux layer system helps horses self-regulate, similar to how their own hair works. So they stay a lot more comfortable through the day.
Great advice for a problem that everybody is familiar with and we all worry about when we go to work in the morning and don't get to see our horses till evening. And I'm glad they came up with a solution like that. Because short of having somebody come out at noon and take a layer off, that was the only option you had. Well, Kat, where can people find out more about you guys?
We're on the web at worldclassgrooming.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram if you look up the same thing, World Class Grooming. And we published a book, the best-selling horse book last year, and it's World Class Grooming for Competition Horses, and you can find it on our website or wherever horse books are sold.
And we have breaking news just in. Hold the presses. This week only, from October 14th through the 17th, you can get $100 off any Rambo turnout blanket, including the Vera Layer that Kat talked about, the Rambo Duo, the Optimo, and the Original, the Supreme, and all the others in the Rambo turnout line. All you have to do is trade in your old turnout from any brand for a horse in need. Simply visit horseware.com/trade for more information and fill out the form for the voucher you will need to get your $100 off. That's from the 14th through the 17th. The complete list of retailers is on the website at horseware.com/trade as well. Open to U.S. and Canadian residents only. Go to horseware.com today and trade in that blanket that you currently have to a brand new Rambo and get $100 off on this weekend only from the 14th through the 17th. Well, thanks to Horseware for their continuing support here at Horses in the Morning. We appreciate it. And your guest is ready, Mary.
All right. So we have with us Justin Dunn with Justin Dunn Mustang Horsemanship out of Colorado. How are you doing?
Hey, Mary. Doing good. Doing real good. I was just booking a clinic when the phone call came through. So doing real good.
Oh, man. That sounds great. And speaking of clinics, I was looking at your copy on your website, and you say that you do vacation-style clinics. So what do you mean by vacation-style?
Well, I'm out here 35 miles from any town, so we're up in the Rocky Mountains, about 9,000 feet. And here at my ranch, we do a 3- and 5-day clinic, so people can come in. We'll address issues with their horses or with them or whatever it is that they need to address. And then we go, we do a lot of trail rides through the mountains and do focused riding on what we learned in the round pen or the arena. So it kind of turns it into a vacation, like a trail riding vacation horseback.
That's amazing. We just went through Colorado. I came to Colorado on my way up to Washington, and it's a gorgeous state. And I love that style clinic where you're learning, but you're still just really having fun. And it's really cool. You get to use your horse out on the trails and everything. And of course, most of the horses in your program are Mustangs. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's my passion, Mustangs.
How many Mustangs do you guys have there?
I have 6 Mustangs, and we're down to 11 horses right now. I've got another one coming in next week. We lost a couple this year, one due to cancer, and one went through a fence running from a lion. So mountains, and we do have mountain lions, so... You know, that happens.
Does it happen often?
No, not often. This is very rare, actually. I've heard of it before I moved here 10 years ago. But, you know, my horses are on 1,000 acres, and it's big country. And they're in a herd of 11 right now, but there was 14 at once. So they get along pretty good out there, but you know, we do have wildlife, and those young cats, they like to play, and that's probably what they were doing, just chasing to hone in their hunting skills. And my 31-year-old guy, he's not a runner, so he went through the fence instead of trying to run with the herd. So
Now, what do you have problems with bears? We were just, by the way, my wife and I were just out there for 10 days on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and it is absolutely beautiful. Do you have a problem with bears at all?
Well, I don't think it's a problem. We have a lot of bears. We're actually a relocation area where, you know, like Colorado Springs has nuisance bears. They'll bring them out here to us.
Great.
You know, they're they're hanging around the dumpsters.
That sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll camp
so
out.
Do people have to sign, when they do your clinics, do they have to sign a bear and lion clause just to make sure?
No.
They know what they're getting into. Okay.
No. No, it's not that big of a problem. It just, it's on our minds right now because it happened, you know, less than a month ago. So,
yeah, that's terrible.
Well, and it's, you know, even in places, rural places, you run into that kind of stuff too with wildlife. Probably not as much as you're dealing with 9,000, you know, feet into the Rocky Mountains. But so when you get Mustangs to replace the ones on your string and you're adding to your string, are you going to go adopt wild Mustangs or do you try to maybe rehome something that's already been trained or how's that going to go?
Well, my preference is to get wild, untouched Mustangs. That's really what I really like to get. What I'm doing this time, I've linked up with a lot of horse rescues, and they're just plumb full. So what I'm going to do is pull horses from the rescue in this particular case, and they're used for a cancer camp. So that, you know, I don't need anything, you know, specific other than a horse that needs a home and is in good shape, good enough to carry kids around.
And this is your Nighthawk Ranch camp, and so you're using these Mustangs to help kids recovering from cancer. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
And
yes. Nighthawk Ranch.
Tell us about that. Tell us about what you do with the kids and you know, what's the experience been like for you, too?
Okay. Yeah, Nighthawk Ranch, we've been going for about 5 years now. So 5 years ago, I linked up with the founder, which is Tom Evans, and he and I wanted to put together an equine, you know, therapy program for kids with cancer. He lost his mother and brother to cancer, and then he got cancer, and he's in remission. So it's a very, you know, deep-seated or deep-rooted passion for him to help people with that disease, the peripheral damage of that, very, very, you know, bad. So he wanted to create a place up here in the mountains. He's 6 miles from me. So he wanted to create a place up here in the mountains for people to come and kind of just decompress, you know, get a connection with nature. And relax, you know, healing through relaxation more than anything. And the horses are really instrumental in facilitating that. So I had a trail ride business for the last, you know, 11 years. And we linked up. And my horses kind of step up to their calling because a lot of my horses are rejects, if you will. They were buckers, biters, bolters, kickers. You know, with 6 Mustangs, although obviously they weren't that way, but they're actually the best horses that I have in the string. So taking people trail riding and, you know, showing them these beautiful mountains, I really love that. But I wanted to go to another level where I help people, children in this case, get to see this part of the country and get that same experience that they otherwise probably wouldn't have. So Tom and I linked up and we put this program together. And like I say, this was our 5th year we just completed, and there's nothing more gratifying to have, you know, misfit horses labeled that way, carrying little children around. They come in on a Monday, get their horses. By Friday, we do a little cattle drive across the ranch. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. You know, now I think a lot of us have heard about the effects that horses have as therapy animals for veterans or disabled children or you know, or people that are recovering from illness. But one thing I wanted to ask is, do you think for the horses working with kids like this, do they have a different effect on the horses than maybe your typical trail rider?
Oh, absolutely, Mary. You know, you obviously know horses. So to ask me that kind of question, you'd have to know horses. That is one of the neatest, most mind-blowing things to be able to see is a horse that I know intimately. And I know how that horse thinks, and I know how that horse has been treated. And then for a child to come into that horse's world, so to speak, watch that horse totally change dynamically. I mean, from how he walks, how he switches his tail, how he moves. They slow way down. They get real, real careful. And then to watch that particular horse lay his head right in the chest of a child and close his eyes, it'll bring you to your knees. Because some of those horses were so out of the human element, did not want anything to do with it, suffered some pretty bad abuse. And when I got them, it took, months to get them to even understand, hey, you're never going to have fear. You're never going to have pain. So that horse, there's a few. I have a few like that. So to watch those horses do that, it's nothing more gratifying to see that, wow, that horse really wants to step up and answer this calling that we all have, and he understands his, so he's doing it. And man, it just sets you back, and that's why I keep doing it.
And and it's something I've seen as well, and it really is, it's not an exaggeration, and it's not a coincidence, and it's not a myth. It's amazing to see how they change with certain people, especially children. And I'm sure, that these kids are more unique than other kids as well. And there's something about them that these horses just melt. And I don't know if the kids just don't have the same kind of intentions that us adults do. We kind of always have an agenda. I'm going to catch you. I'm going to ride you. And I think with kids, a lot of the time, they don't have that kind of agenda. They're just happy to be there with the horse. They're very in the moment. And these horses, it's very hypnotic. It's amazing to see how they change with different people. And I don't even think that they've been able to explain why that relationship is so important and why that therapy works, but there's something to it for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, the adults, we have a lot of human doing aspect to us, and the children are human beings. So they're just being human beings with the horse. Horse picks up on that really quickly. And, children come to horses in a childlike, faith or manner, if you will. And I learn a lot from that. I take a lot of notes. So in my horsemanship clinics and my training, I will literally try to be like a child, have no, clear my mind, have no expectation, have a realistic expectation, but don't have any intention of, like what you're saying, I'm going to catch you, I'm going to do this. I kind of like to ask a question with pressure, and then based on the response or the feedback, make the decision to do, the next step. Children, they're just there. They're just human beings, just being with the horse, and the horse picks up on that. And, oh man, when the energy syncs up like that, anything's possible. And I've seen it over and over.
Yeah, I like that human doing versus human being. And it's really, the kids just have it naturally, but I've been out on the pasture chasing one that didn't want to be caught. And I'm trying to tell myself, just relax, it's okay, just clear your mind, go to a happy place. But they always know, they always sense if underneath all that, me being as nice and gentle as I can and being patient, they still sense if I, underneath all that, okay, yes, but I'm going to catch you and we're going to work today. And it's not like they're trying, it's not about trying to evade work. I think they're just reacting to, that little part of the person that's just not completely letting go. And that's, that kind of goes to the core of horse training. It's at times counterintuitive. When you want to brace up or when you want to get fast, that's when you need to slow down and let go. Definitely something to learn there for working with horses, especially wild Mustangs. But yeah, that's very cool work. And something else that I wanted to talk with you about when we were kind of discussing what you might want to talk about on the show is you said you might have some success tips or some advice for up and comers in the horse industry.
Yeah, sure. I started a new company and it launches in 2017. And it's basically, it's a consulting company for horse trainers or horse owners, adopters, etc. And I'll give you an example. Yesterday, I got called out to a town called Hillside, 45-minute drive. So I drive over there, and the lady, it's probably the worst-case scenario that you could consider, but she's pushing 70 years old, adopted a wild horse, never been touched. And for 2 months, she's been trying to, you know, play with this horse, and she's actually scared of him. So, you know, real timid around them at best. So it's one of those things. I go over and I assess the situation, and then I have to explain to her, you know, get her in the right mindset to deal with this horse. And the company that I'm starting is just that. It's to help people get into the right mindset, you know, expert assistance in horse training. And one of the things that a horse trainer getting into the business will deal with is that aspect, getting the owner or the person understanding their responsibilities and their role in the relationship with their horse. Seen a lot of things come along the pipe since I've been in the horse industry or horse community. And a horse owner sometimes are not educated enough, and they think that, you know, I'll take my horse to the horse trainer and I'll get 30 days put on the horse and then I'll get it back. And they're equating that to their vehicle. I'm going to take it to the paint shop and I'm going to get it painted and then I'll get it back. And it's painted, you know, and the horse is ready. So this consulting company is going to really educate that owner or adopter and maybe even some horse trainers that need that, but shift that mindset back over to the responsibility and roles that need to be where they need to be, which is, you know, the horse owner is ultimately responsible for this relationship. And with this consulting company, we can educate and hopefully facilitate people in the understanding of, you know, the real relationship that's trying to be established with a horse. So going over there and doing that with that wild horse yesterday kind of solidified some things that I really needed to solidify in the launch of this business. And that's education. And making it available. So that's what we're really going to try to do. And it'll take a lot of stress off of these up-and-coming horse trainers because they're not going to have to spend the time educating their clients so much. And that's what we hope to do in the horse industry is kind of really put that out there so it makes it easier for the horse trainer, easier for the horse owner, and definitely easier for the horses.
Really fantastic idea. You know, we live in an age with social media and Google, which is the greatest thing ever, and RFD. So there's a ton of information out there that's pretty easily accessible if you know how to look for it. And I think even though we've got that information out there and you can go looking for it and trying to find it, most people getting into this don't know what they don't know, so they don't know to look. And then, you know, I forgot what my point of view was. But most people, you know, they don't know what to look. They don't know what to look for. And, oh, now I remember. I think most of us agree that when you're getting into horses, I think most of our learning is done trial by error. And, of course, that's good to an extent, but hopefully the error does not involve getting put in the hospital or... You know, and, you know, it doesn't involve really serious issues that you don't understand until after it's already happened. So if you can help prevent people from going through any of that kind of heartache, I think that's a really great idea.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the biggest thing that I'd like to do is have it available to where people are already educated before they ever even adopt a horse or get one out of a rescue or, you know, a Mustang. Or ever get into horses, because I see so many times, and yesterday is a classic case, not even prepared, definitely not prepared in the mind, but not prepared at the facility to do this. And then they come to a point of, oh no, what have I done or what do I do? I understand clarity through engagement. That's important, but also success favors the prepared mind. So if they can be prepared beforehand, it'll set them up for so much better success.
Well, we're running out of time here, Justin. Thank you so much for joining us. Do you have a website, or where can people find you?
The best place these days is Facebook, Justin Dunn Mustang Horsemanship.
Justin Dunn Mustang Horsemanship on Facebook. We'll put a link to it in our show notes as well. And now the most important question, because I've gotten, as soon as you started talking about helping cancer kids and everything and Mustangs and combining the two, I got several of our listeners who Facebook private messaged me and said, is he single? So there's the most important question, Justin. Are you single? Because they've all said they'll move to your 1,000-acre ranch in Colorado, no problem.
No, I'm married. I have 3 children. I do have an affair with my horses every day, so that's about it.
Oh, you're just making it worse for them, Justin. All right, there you go, ladies. Sorry he's not free. Thank you, Justin.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, bye. There you go, ladies. Sorry. He's got a wife and kids, and he loves his horses. You're doomed.
Yep. Yep. All the good ones are taken.
And besides, you think if he was single, Mary would have let me ask that question? So there would have never happened.
Yeah.
Hey, so you have time for some training questions here?
I do.
All right. I don't know how far you are toward the airport now, but so Kelly.
Oh, I got plenty of time.
Okay, good. Kelly Portner asks, I'd like to hear about how you plan out clicker training and what behaviors you teach first. That's a good question, because I think when people start with clicker training, they're like, well, what do I do first? You know, what do I do? Does it matter what you do first?
It does. You know, I've used the right.
Oh, we might have lost Mary.
Uh-oh.
She is
driving. She's going to come back. I'm sure of it.
Oh, she's completely gone. She probably asked. Oh, I wonder if her battery died. Let's hope not. Jennifer,
oh,
if she did, you're going to be answering questions here, so get prepared. so we'll try and bring Mary back here to the conversation.
Either, oh, it rang. That's a good sign.
Yeah, it's ringing, so that's something.
Hello?
Are you back? We lost you.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened. All of a sudden, all my voicemails started playing.
So Kelly wanted to know, does it matter what you teach first when you're starting clicker training?
I would say yes. As I was saying before I was randomly cut off, clicker training, sometimes people think that it's all one program or one method. So if you're learning clicker training, you're only going to learn, you know, X amount of things, and it's going to be the same thing everybody else does. And people have started using the term, to be more clear, of training with the clicker. So clicker training or training with the clicker can be as varied as any other kind of horse training. I mean, you also have the blanket term of natural horsemanship, but there's several people who are using that term in their business that are doing different things. So clicker training is that way. And you can either piggyback clicker training to your favorite program. So say you're just a really huge John Lyons fan and you love John Lyons, you're really big into Monty Roberts, and that program's great. You can just supplement that with clicker training. You don't have to deviate from that very much at all. Or you can do a standalone program based entirely on training with a clicker. But I would say that I teach some core behavior first, and they're often the same things that a lot of established clicker trainers will do with some variations. And one of those is targeting. I like to use targeting first, and that's teaching your horse to touch his nose to a target. I like to use targeting first because it gives your horse a task. It's easy to see the results, because if he doesn't touch the target, then you know it's not working. So it's a very simple task that I use to teach my horse what the marker signal means. So that's one of the first ones I teach. Now you can build on targeting and use it to teach liberty or lure them over obstacles or whatever. But I usually initially just in the beginning, teach them to touch their nose to the target. It helps me understand whether or not they get that the click means they're getting a reward. Once you have that established, technically you could go anywhere. Once your horse knows that click means treat, you can train whatever you want. You can train whatever you want with that and go from there. However, usually almost immediately the next thing that happens when I'm clicker training is that my horse now understands I have food and they're really excited. So I go into a lot of stationary behaviors and behaviors that have to do with getting food manners established. So I work a lot on standing quietly next to my horse and clicking him when he is also very quiet and being a gentleman and not trying to mug me for treats. So I work on that. Probably that's the second thing I do with every single horse. And then I continue that on. I really advance that as much as I can. I work on it every day, several times a day. And it has really great effects other than simply getting your horse to not mug you for treats. I've seen it really take over and have a hypnotic effect on horses and really change how they react to things and really solve a lot of issues that I have with groundwork and under saddle, just standing quietly. So that's a really good one to teach. She also asked, what do you do to avoid confusion and frustration after the initial light bulb moment? I would say the biggest success tip I can give you there is to not think in terms of lumping behaviors together. When you're training with the clicker, don't try to get two or three things at once. Pick one thing, break it down into 100 million little steps. You almost can't break it down enough. It seems tedious, but in the long run, it pays off. You really clear away any confusion with the horse there. So find the behavior you want. Say, okay, I would like my horse to touch this target. Or I would like to stand next to my horse and my objective is to have him not love me. And get that behavior solid. Then you can start adding to it. And so with the standing next to your horse, you can say, okay, this time I want my horse to stand next to me. He knows not to mug me. We've established that because we've worked on it. This time, I'm going to reward him when he also keeps his head straight. So build on, work on that. Get that solid. And once he knows to stand next to you, keep his head straight, then you can start getting really specific. You can say, okay, now I want you to stand next to me, keep your head straight, and I'd like your ears forward. You'll click that moment. And then you can, get that really solid. Then you can say, okay, this time I want you to stand next to me, keep your head straight, ears forward, and I want your feet square. And you can take that to the nth degree. You would be amazed at how far you can take that. So instead of coming out and trying to get all those things at once, imagine if I came out and tried to work with my horse today that I'd never done it. I want you to stand still. I don't want you to mug me. I want you to keep your head straight. I want your ears forward. Oh, and I want your feet square. It would be incredibly frustrating for both of us. But if I broke it down the way I just explained, it becomes suddenly much more doable.
Thank you, Kelly. Jennifer, you had a question too. Jennifer asked, any exercises for horses who display aggressive body language when you try and put their feet in the feed tub? I know which one she particularly is talking about. Crowding, ears back, turned butt, and threatening to kick or to try to move or to kick you if you try to move them away from the tub. That wouldn't be my pony. For once, it's her horse. So there.
That is a really good one. And, oftentimes we don't think about food manners until they get to this point. The aggression, the kicking, they're breaking the stall doors, when it gets to be this kind of nuisance, that's when we're like, what do we do? So I've actually only recently begun thinking about incorporating this with every single horse, whether they have an issue or not. It's never really a blatant, like, oh my God, you've been doing something wrong for so long and this is why this happened. It just sort of evolves over time. Because most of the time when we're feeding, we're not in training mode. We want to dump the feed so we can go on to the next chore, or go back home and get dinner started. And sometimes the horse is standing with their ears pinned or they're baring their teeth or they're kicking the stall door. And most of the time, we just kind of brush it off. We might shoo them off a little bit. But at the end of all that, we usually dump the feed in the feed pan. So the horses, we're unconsciously reinforcing the horse every day for that behavior. So the horse begins to think, it becomes a superstition for the horse. Oh, every time I paw at the door, my food comes. So what I would do is I would make it a training session. I would you know, put some time aside and work on it. And when you do, I would pick some objectives that you want to happen. Where do you want your horse standing in the stall? How do you want him to look? How long do you want him to stand quietly? You know, be really clear on your objectives and what you're looking for out of your horse. And then you also need to have the understanding that you're not going to fix it all in one day. So you might have to find some moment, some split second in time to give your horse a reward. So, you know, it might involve just standing there and waiting. And if he stops for a little bit, then he can have his feed. If you want to get really into it, I was just pairing this with the clicker so you have a marker signal to let him know exactly when he's done something well. And, you know, find some starting point, find some moment where he's going to be quiet for even a split second, reward that, and then build from there. Okay, now you need to stand quietly for a couple more seconds, now a couple more. And every time you go to his stall to feed him, just start adding layers to what you want. Okay, this time I need you to stand in this corner, and now I need you to stand there longer. And okay, let's work on those ears. We've got you standing in the corner. You stopped charging the stall. Now I want you to put your ears forward. So you're going to take what the behaviors you want, slice them into a thousand tiny little steps and get them there. And just work on it over time. You don't have to spend an hour on it every day.
All right. Very good. Jennifer, do you have anything to follow up?
Thank you.
There you go. Good follow up.
That's a really, 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 really big butt when he turns it towards you, because he gets his lunch fed in the field, not in his stall. So he goes to his feed tub. That's wonderful. But then he promptly turns his fanny towards me, so I can't get to the bucket.
Oh, yes. Good question. Good question. You know, you could use a form of correction. You could take a flag out with you, and if he does that, send him away. But you may want to change your training environment for a little while and take the tub out and bring it out with you when you feed and put a barrier between him and you. So you could stand on the other side of the fence and just wait for something that you can reward. And then when he does it, then you can hand him his feed tub through the fence and, you know, put it on the ground through the fence.
I have to be patient, because it's not going to take him long to do something that's like, that's the right answer, because he's going to get confused and go, what do I do? What do I do? And he's going to back up or walk away or something like that. And that's when I can take that opportunity to reward it.
Exactly. So you're not going to get him to stand perfectly for half an hour on day one, but you might be standing there with
seconds.
The feed
tub.
Yes. Oh, yeah, exactly. That's how I get my ground. That's when I teach mark training. This is very similar. It's easy to get a horse to stand on the mark, but getting him to stand there for a long period of time can be difficult. So, you know, with a lot of my horses, when I could get half a second, I was like, click, okay, I'll take it. And then if you get it once, you mark it once, you can usually get it again. And then, okay, now I want you to stand for 2 seconds, now 4 seconds, now 10 seconds, now 30 seconds, now 3 minutes, and build from there. So he's not going to be a perfect angel today, but I would just say set up a safe training environment, put a barrier between he and you so you're not worried about getting charged or anything, and just hang out. You know, let him know you've got his dinner ready. I wouldn't taunt him by shaking it or anything, but just come out with the feed quietly, and, you know, he might cause a little ruckus, but there might be a split second where he gets distracted and he stands for a second. And, okay, mark that, and now here's your dinner. And then just get and build to it every day. Build duration. Get it longer and longer and longer. Pretty soon he's going to understand there's an object to the game. And instead of trying everything he can to be naughty to get the food, he's going to realize what the answers are. Oh, this is what gets it. You're going to replace his superstitions about this is what gets the grain turning my butt towards you or being aggressive to, oh, every time I'm quiet, I get dinner. So I'm going to do that again tomorrow.
Very good. Well, let's switch off of clicker training on to a different question here. I think we have time for maybe one more. This is a good one. Janelle Rhodes asks, my horse is pretty good practicing alone in the arena, but if there's another horse and we get to a canter, he will run sideways right over to the other horse. I've almost fallen off when he does it. How can I make him stop being friendly? Well, she didn't write that. I did. But how can I make him stop doing this?
Okay. Good question. I would say, just from what I'm gathering out of this, it would probably not hurt this horse to go back to some groundwork and really get your body control working for you. I would make sure you can shut that horse down because you're saying you've almost come off. So I assume he's going very fast, maybe even bolting sideways. So I would work on making sure you can shut your horse down. If I know that I can get my horse to stop out of something like that, and I use the one rein stop, which we've talked about on the show before, then I feel much more confident about tackling the problem. So make sure you have good foot control on the ground under saddle. Make sure you can shut your horse down. Once you get that, I would probably not try to fix this in the canter initially. I would... and you might need a friend to help you do this, or if there are people in the riding, tell them what's up, that you're going to work on some training with your horse. Your horse might get near them. Just give them a warning, be courteous, make sure they're okay with that. And I'd probably work on this in a gait like the trot, and I would trot them on a loose rein. I would give them a little bit of guidance, but I'm not going to try to keep them away from the horse, because I bet you $1 million that your horse is showing you he has this problem in the walk and the trot too. I bet when you're walking around the arena or trotting around the arena, even though he might not be running to the horse, I'm guessing his shoulder bows out and he's probably a little sticky on that side that's closest to the horse. So I'd work on this in a lower gait that's easier to manage for you. Give the horse a loose rein, and anytime he goes to the other horse, you're not going to let him get there and then punish him and, you know, make him feel horrible. But all I would do is I would give your friend a heads up, you know, make sure they are aware your horse might get very close to them. And I would hustle the horse forward when he gets to the horse. So if he drifts sideways, you know, that's okay. Once you get to the horse, I would make his feet move, you know, speed him up a little bit. And keep asking him forward till he gets away from that horse. He might, even if it's a few feet away, and then release pressure, let him relax, let him go back to walk. And then I'd ask that again. I'd pick up the trot, let him have a reasonably loose rein. I'd be kind of minimal with my guidance. When he takes me to that horse, I would hustle his feet, make him go somewhere. And so he'll realize that he has to hustle a little bit when he's near the horse. And when he's away from the horse, it's not as, you know, it's a bit more refreshing. So that should help get him to not stick to the other horses. Once you get that pretty good at the trot where you can ride on a loose rein and he's not going to drag you to the horse, then I'd go back to canter.
All right, very good. And I think that's probably about all the time we have today. I know you're going to be heading, you're going to be at the airport soon. So, Mary, thank you so much for joining us again. What's the website where people can find all of your cool stuff?
You can find me at Mary Kitzmiller Horsemanship or on Facebook at MaryKitzmiller.com website. On Facebook, Mary Kitzmiller Horsemanship.
And you do have some DVDs available at MaryKitzmiller.com, and one of them is on clicker training and starting clicker training, so they can buy that there?
Yeah.
All right, very good. And also, if you want to find more about the horses in the morning show or find more of Mary's past episodes where she answers questions from listeners, then you can go to horsesinthemorning.com and just search for Mary Kitzmiller. It'll bring up all of the past episodes. And Mary, we'll see you back again here next month. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, very good. And everybody, also, tomorrow is Friday, which means Really Bad Ads Day. Get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Remember, you get entered in the drawing twice if you record the ad yourself on your phone and send us the sound file. And that gets you entered twice in there instead of just once for sending it in for the prize. We have another great prize for you this month, and we'll be announcing that tomorrow, as well as picking last month's winner, because we got delayed because of hurricanes and things. So we'll pick last month's winner, which was a Glenn's box of crap. So we're going to do that tomorrow as well. A lot going on here at Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a good flight, Mary.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care.